Well, good evening, all you beautiful listeners out there, and welcome. Yes, this is Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal, and I am indeed your host, John Crescito. And are you digging that vibe playing in the background? You better believe the party starts now, March 30th, 2010. This is the brand newest episode of Beyond Ghosts, and of course, tonight, another fantastic guest on the program that allows anyone and everyone the opportunity to be a ghost hunter. Tonight we're talking to EVP researcher and specialist, Mr. Mike Esposito, about all things electronic voice phenomena. So tonight, Mike Esposito, EVP on Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a momento, babies, and we'll get the party started even more. Welcome to Beyond Ghosts.
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Hey there, and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is your host, John Crescito. And before we have the opportunity, me, myself, to introduce a fantastic guest we have calling us from the Midwest, let me take the opportunity now to pass the microphone to the two greatest co-hosts in the universe, babies. That's right. We're talking about Chef Chicken. We're talking about Willard. And before I just absolutely spontaneously combust, let me say, Willard, you're up first, my friend. Take the mic. Tell the people that I'm listening what you've been doing, why I've been doing that, and what the hell you're getting out of it, weirdo. Go ahead.
What I've been doing?
Oh, boy.
We're, like, hot and heavy in our events going on now.
Oh, hot and heavy.
Hot and heavy.
Whoa.
Turn on the lights.
Out in me.
Marty. No, we just got done with the Van Horn Paranormal 101. Went
good stuff.
Really well.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good crowd. And, geez, two more days, you got me at Kelly Hotel again. On a Thursday night.
Boy, that sounds kind of ominous. Two more days and I got you at Kelly Hotel, pal.
Uh-oh.
Come on, you're giving it up too much.
Not alone, though. Not
okay,
alone.
Cool. I'm going to share you.
But in the dark.
But Marty.
But they're bringing the prime rib again, which is delicious.
Okay. That's not code, right? That's cool. I can't wait, man. It's going to be great.
No, actual prime rib. You're not the prime rib, John.
Thank you.
Oh,
I'm just a prime cut, baby.
Exit stage left.
So that's all you got there, Willard? That's good stuff, man.
What else do you need?
I need a lot more. Gimme. And actually, it's really good. I'm really excited. We're in full swing, like you said. Sky is absolutely the limit with the Beyond Ghost crew. So many more special announcements. I mean, we're talking about tremendous announcements coming up this summer. Stick with us, folks. You're never going to be the same. We're going to blow the roof off the paranormal projects going on in the Western New York area. Marty told me to say that, so you're welcome, Marty. So you're up now. What's going on, Chef Chickles?
I'm still recovering from Mardi Gras. I'm still recovering from St. Patty's Day.
Wait, I love what he says from Mardi Gras. Mardi Chef Chick, Mardi Gras.
Jesus, Marty.
I'm holding my counselor. Hopefully my counselor ain't listening to the show right now. I should be covered.
School counselor, right. Gotcha.
Yes.
So, what else?
That's it.
Mardi Gras was over a month ago.
I'm still recovering from Mardi Gras and St. Patty's
Day. He does it big. He does them real big, both of them.
Mardi Gras, don't you get it?
Right. St. Patty's Day.
That's right. St. Patty's Day.
That's
lame. He's trying. At least he's trying to get into it.
Mardi Gras. It's better than martini.
Which we left, you know, by the wayside a while back, right?
So 2009.
Yeah, it's out like style, baby.
It slipped out in 2010 a couple times already.
That's because we were celebrating Mardi Gras and St. Patty's Day with Marti. Freaking martini's in the house! So are you guys done or what?
I'm still recovering. I can't think that fast.
I think it's actually also spreading to us. So yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you're here, pal. You're here today.
Yeah.
You're not AWOL.
Not incarcerated.
You're not delinquent.
Doesn't have his probation officer still.
Right, where is he?
No. I know. He had to go with the other guy because Bristow's not here. He must be doing like a prison transport on Bristow.
Can we give him a shout out?
Hey, Brandon Bristow, man, if you're listening, kid, we love you, and you're still the tech guy for Beyond Ghosts and Erratic of Paranormal. He's good.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're
done.
Okay, so now can we get down to the business here at hand or what?
Sure.
You know what we're doing tonight, guys, right? It's called radio.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we're not just shooting the breeze, pal. We got a very special guest who's calling us. We got to be careful. It's like south side of Chicago, baby.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to get Al Capone'd, okay? We're talking tonight about all things electronic voice phenomena. That's right. For all you newbies out there and people that need a refresher, we're talking EVP. And we have somebody that's really heavily involved in EVP research. of an advanced nature. We're talking to Mike Esposito. Mike, are you with us, my friend?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
Not much.
Yeah?
I'm in Chicago, huh? No.
All of a sudden, I hear Tommy Gun.
Yeah, exactly. Al Capone's guns don't argue.
There you go, man. That's the story of the street. So how you doing there, Mike? Good?
Good, good. It's been a wicked day.
Yeah, now you're stuck with us. Gonna be even wickeder night, pal.
Even more wicked.
So is that a fair way to introduce you? You are pretty much an experienced researcher when it comes to EVP?
Yeah, I research EVP and theories as well as actually a lot of field work. Delve heavily in different scientific aspects, including quantum mechanics and...
Oof.
And with my investigative partner, Heidi Harman, do a lot of work in the energy field as well, experimenting with sort of metaphysical or more energy-type work stuff as well. So not only do I do a lot of hard science stuff, but I also delve a bit in the soft science or the more energy-based philosophies of the East. And that sort of thing with Reiki and and different type of energy healing work.
Okay, that's interesting, man. So I guess what we're going to do here to get this party started in the right direction, we're going to touch on as much of that as we can during the course of the hour, but just to introduce the listeners at home a little bit more about your specific background, how you actually came to the point you're at now, being on Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal, take like 5 minutes in your own words and tell the people listening what the hell the deal with Mike Esposito is, please.
Oh, easy question.
Welcome.
I was building computers actually, and I was building computers from scratch. And I was building a mid tower studio, actually a German Terratech high end computer studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved with dealing with some extreme frequency work and some experimental music and some of the things they were doing with that. And I ran across the work of Friedrich Jurgensen and EVP.
Oh, yeah.
And everything sort of all clicked together. And from there, I went and started researching and started off doing some recordings. One of my earliest field work was at the Sally House in Kansas. With Todd Bates and the Haunted Voices crew. I was their tech manager, if you want, or their
consultant.
I forget exactly what it was, research.
Cool stuff.
Head of research or whatever.
Yeah.
And it got some incredible results. I actually left Atchison, went to Hawaii, and spent the whole time in the hotel room going through my audio files, going through the EVP, so...
Really? While in Hawaii? Wow, you're dedicated, pal.
I was hooked.
You're a man.
No doubt about it. I've been doing EVP research now solidly for about 7 years.
Okay, very good.
Sweet.
So, Marty, what do you say, pal? You down with EVP?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know me.
Well, that was so lame.
Being a ghost hunter and talking to Mike during the pre-interview, you know, 95% of the evidence we ever capture as ghost hunters is the EVP.
Audio stuff, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost like the perfect guest to have.
We know you're still recovering from Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
St. Paddy's Day. But no, you're definitely right on. So I guess one thing I'll start by saying, Mike, if I can, is... Just in case, you know, I like to play devil's advocate on the program. If there are people out there that might not be really that familiar with what EVP is, can you kind of give me, like, the standard textbook definition of EVP, por favor?
I like to borrow from a lot of different sources.
Still, it's fine.
I guess what I would, if someone would ask what electronic voice phenomena is, I'd say basically it's capturing voices of unknown origin on any type of recordable medium.
Okay.
People view everything from baby monitors to you know, open reel magnetic tape machines. Friedrich Jurgensen used to call his work audioscopic research. He liked that term. So, some people believe, you know, they capture EVP that are of extraterrestrial nature. You know, some people believe that they capture EVP from voices of the dead.
Right.
Emanuel Swedenborg in the late 1600s, early 1700s, claimed to speak to voices of the dead and angels in his summer house on a daily basis.
Wow.
So it kind of, it derives itself sort of from direct voice phenomena, which came popular in the middle 1800s with the spiritualist movement, and the mediums would use spirit horns or spirit trumpets, and the dead would speak through the medium.
Okay.
Or, you know, that way. Now, that direct voice phenomenon is different than what you hear as you know, like what they, some people call real-time EVP.
Sure.
Or disenfranchised voices or disembodied voices.
Gotcha.
And this direct voice phenomena later on actually became recordable as we started being able to record. Vladimir Borgosis in the early 1900s, 1901, 1902, was a, he was a Siberian entomologist. He was a sociologist out working with the U.S. on a joint expedition called the Jessup Expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And he was recording Chukchi Shaman doing a spirit-raising ceremony in a tent. He captured voices in English and in Russian when there were nobody there except the Chukchi and him.
Far out.
Huh. And he captured these on Edison wax cylinders. So, you know, EVP goes all the way back. And there's a whole slew of everything from priests to radio men that have captured voices that they couldn't explain or couldn't be explained away from that point on.
Rumor had it that Thomas Edison, just before he had passed, was working on a telephone to the dead, so to speak, I think is the way he termed it.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Edison made a statement to Scientific America that he, after his mom died, he got real funny about wanting to contact the dead, which happens to a lot of people when they lose someone.
Right.
And he said that he believed that there could be a device built that would be sensitive enough to be able to capture voices of the deceased. So he believed that the spirits were out there and they were speaking. And that eventually that he thought a device could be built with the ability to capture these voices. Actually, a relative of mine was his office manager during the time.
Oh, wow.
Theodore Vail.
Dude, you're famous.
I don't know about that.
Surprise. You are on this show, Mike. Welcome.
Yay!
EDP.
He never actually, there was never any plans or anything of his device found, even though his, you know that about 90% of his work in his office, I mean, it's a Thomas Edison Museum.
Yeah.
And about, I'd say 80 to 90% of that's still kept under secret clearance, you know, TSSB1 clearance.
Hmm.
So there's so much of his work that's not available to the public, even now.
Interesting.
Now, they believe, well, shortly after he died, a couple people claimed to have been able to get a hold of one of two, there were two devices called the psychophone.
Right.
That were supposedly developed off of his plans that someone had found, and they toured them from Chicago to California and back. Hmm. One of them went missing, and one of them sold on eBay a few years ago for like $5,000.
Oh, wow. Nice chunk of change.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
Willard.
Now, Michael, obviously EVPs are the most widely caught piece of paranormal evidence.
According to Marty.
What is your opinion on EVPs and it being so widely caught? Are a lot of those, would you say, authentic, or would you say a lot of them are just misinterpreted as an EVP?
Like stray sounds and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question for a couple different reasons.
That's why he's called a professor.
One of the things that I've done a lot of work with speech pathologists, I've done a lot of work with using ambient noises or room noises to generate ambient energy in a room to allow the spirits to try and manipulate that energy into the vocal pattern, and develop something that I've experienced quite a bit in my time called voice borrowing. It's sort of a vocal doppelganger, if you wish.
Oh, right.
Almost like a like they warp your voice sometimes?
Yeah, they actually use the researcher's voice and create, you know, hey, that's my voice, but I'm not saying that. There's a pretty famous EVP that was captured, where I'm in a Sally house, and I'm talking about forgetting something downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry guys, I forgot this piece of equipment downstairs. I got to go down and get it." And over my voice, you hear this. It starts off at a really weird cadence, and then it's my voice saying, "There are maggots all over here," real loud.
Hmm.
And then it goes, like kind of tails off. But you hear my voice underneath it. So you hear my voice and the voice of the EVP talking about maggots at the same time. And that's voice borrowing. What it is the spirit using the energy or the waveform of the investigator to... Mm-hmm. You know, allow him to manipulate or her to manipulate the energy to create communication.
Wow. Is that a common occurrence, Mike, or is that pretty rare?
I would be rare enough that I've probably captured it 4 or 5 times in the literally hundreds of thousands of EVPs I've captured.
Gotcha, partner.
We actually just got one of those, similar to what you talked about, at the Union Hotel over up here near Buffalo. We were up and investigating, I think it was the attic, and...
The ballroom?
Was it the ballroom, the third floor, right. That's it. And John was doing something like, "I'm going to knock twice," and then he goes, "I'm going to knock," you know, and then he says, "I'm going to knock 2 times." Well, as he says twice, another voice comes in and says exactly what he says twice, and then he says 2 times, and after John says it, you know...
But they sounded weird, right?
Yeah, after John says it, another voice comes in and says exactly what he said as well. So it was almost like he was saying exactly what John said. Similar to what you just mentioned.
Yeah, the what's neat too is because there's also sometimes a real neat time envelope or time fold involved.
Hmm.
I was in a movie called Dead Whisper by Ronald James, and Robbie Thomas was in it.
Good guy.
From Canada.
Oh yeah, our buddy.
Mike McDowell and
our other buddy,
and a Ghost Hunters crew.
Nice.
And we were at Rick O'Dee's in Willowbrook, right across from the Willowbrook Ballroom, which is where Resurrection Mary had her last dance.
Right.
And actually, that Chicago Paranormal Cops guys, they were there. Because it's no longer Rick O'Dee's now. It changed hands a couple times.
And Stag's Head Inn?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called or something. They were rehabbing it or something, and they were in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Robbie told me about it. I actually didn't see it, but...
Yeah, we're not holding against you, pal. Teach their own, huh? Well, I like cartoons.
We were up in the attic, and I captured an EVP where the owner... Well, I captured an EVP where it said something, and it's some sentence, and I don't actually... It's in the movie, Dead Whisper.
Okay.
But later on, we were downstairs, maybe 4 hours later, and the owner was milling about, and he said the exact same thing that the EVP we captured... Now, of course, we didn't find any of this out until we started editing.
Right.
Actually, Ron James found it and absolutely freaked, you know.
Of course.
But there's this weird time envelope there, too. And of course, one of the theories, too, is that, you know, multiple planes of existence or time that the spirits of our dead, you know, travel or live in an alternate reality, which is a different quantum level of time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can almost relate to what you're saying. I have an EVP like that with Brandon Bristol over at the Iron Island Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Where I heard some kids playing, and I made the comment to Brandon saying, "Do you hear those kids playing?" Because I heard it to the audible ear as a disembodied voice.
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, I don't hear it." But when you play it back in a recorder, you don't hear the kids playing until after I mention it.
Oh, wow. It's like a ripple effect, huh?
Yeah, it's like a time warp.
That's very cool. That's very interesting because it also reminds me of anniversary EVPs, if you're familiar with that. It's a portion of residual EVP, if you will. Todd Bates goes to this particular house near where he lives every year on their time and date and records on the front porch of a house where the husband murders the entire family and killed himself.
Yikes.
And he's captured sounds of screaming and blood-curdling screams and stuff. And he goes back every single year at the exact time and date of the murder.
You're kidding me, really? And they get something each and every anniversary date they go back and record?
I'm not sure if it's each and every, but he has definitely gotten stuff that would be probably related to what happened there.
That's crazy, Mike. I mean, holy
I've had
shit.
Some experience too with the EVPs where the EVP that comes across says exactly what you're going to say just before you say it.
Huh.
You know, I might say the word ice cream, and just before I say ice cream, the spirit says ice cream, and you capture it on the recorder.
Right, wow. Exactly. In fact,
freaking me out, pal.
A real interesting thing about that, too, and I don't know how much you guys work with the EVPs.
We're getting there.
Room, but I'm releasing a new CD. I do experimental music that mixes in the EVPs with the music. And
oh, wow.
In fact, my partner, Heidi Harmon's working on the cover for it right now as we speak.
It's pretty sweet, man.
It's going to be released by Kinda. Firework Edition Records, and it was done with David John Oates,
uh-huh.
who's the reverse speech phenomena guy out of Australia.
Not the Hall & Oates guy, gotcha.
Yeah, he's a grandfather of reverse speech phenomena. And in his theories, he says that every 20 minutes in normal conversation, like we're conversing now,
yeah.
that if you play it backwards, you'll hear an instance of reverse speech where we say something that either contradicts what we were saying if we were lying, or it adds to something that we started, or it says something just completely randomly different.
Wow.
Damn, I'm going to have to try that.
We're into it now, pal. Keep going.
Good thing, man. Good thing I always tell the truth.
I know. We never lie on Beyond Ghost, pal. It's against our mantra.
Yeah, if you don't believe him, you can play it backwards and see.
Yeah, exactly. But can I stop you right there, Mike? Hold on 1 second, Mike. We're going to take our first break for the evening here. These guys got to cool their flapping jaws, so we're taking a fast break. Mike Esposito, hold the line. Of course, I'm here in studio. I'm talking with Chef Chicken Ryan Willard. It's John Crescito and the rest of the fun and shenanigans that is Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a momento, babies. Don't you dare move. And I'm watching you.
Karen Anderson, America's animal communicator, and when I'm not busy talking to your deceased animals, I'm listening to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal.
Hey there, welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. It is still John Crescito, it is still Chef Chicken Willardian, and we're talking to our buddy, expert on all things EVP, Mike Esposito. So I think before we took the break, Mike, I actually had to chime in. You were going to start saying something?
Basically, yeah, we were talking about reverse speech phenomena.
Loving it.
And in EVP, if you take your EVPs and you reverse them,
mm-hmm.
which I do quite a bit to the work I do,
hmm.
a lot of times you'll get EVPs that, again, just like in normal reverse speech phenomena, will complete a sentence,
uh-huh.
will say something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times I get EVPs that in reverse will actually say the same thing in reverse, which is
absolutely crazy.
Phenomenal. Because
absolutely phenomenal.
That can't be done.
Right.
You know, you get an EVP that says, I think I'm dead, and you reverse it and says, I think I'm dead. The waveform of that pattern in reverse should not say that, but yet somehow it does.
Is there a program out there that we can get to put on our computers to do that, to reverse the EVP?
I use Adobe Edition 3.0. I swear by it. It's my favorite. I started using it with Todd Bates and Haunted Voices. We beta tested the 1.5 for them, for Adobe, and we've somehow gotten onto the list, and we suggested a bunch of stuff like spectral analysis and a lot of things, scientific filters and stuff that would really only be of any real good use to someone working in EVP.
Right.
And it actually ended up on their program, so if you get the 3.0 or the future editions, it may have it on there.
Cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, Adobe Edition is just outstanding. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore it. You can do reverse. You can see things in spectral analysis. You can use some light hiss removal. You know, a lot of people, when they clean their EVP, they use a noise reduction and stuff, which is a very harsh cleaning tool.
Yes.
I prefer, like, a click pop eliminator, a light hiss reduction, or, you know, that's not because idea behind cleaning the EVP is you want it to keep the human quality. You want the emotion and the, you know, I've gotten EVPs in accents and foreign languages when I was working overseas.
Yeah.
And the thing that stands out about EVP as a ghost haunting evidence, if you will, is that it retains a lot of human character, a lot of human quality that people can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we were talking about this earlier before the show, but I think one of the reasons why EVP is such a phenomenal evidence versus photographs or even film is because people can identify with the qualities of the human voice. You know, when I was working with a speech pathologist, we were working on sounds that can only be made by humans, such as glottal stop and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only ones that have, you know, thousands of vocal cords that interact with pushing air up from the diaphragm, through the throat, the palate of your mouth, the teeth, the way the tongue interacts on the teeth and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that all creates emotions. And the emotion is what identifies each other. You know, people identify with each other through emotion.
Sure.
You know, as I'm talking with you and you're talking to me and you go, you know, sure, then I know that you're following me and that I'm seeing something that's interesting.
Means I'm hunky too. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I could tell a little bit about your personality and about our relationship.
Right on.
When you do it. Well, the same with EVPs. When you capture an EVP, it's like a one-on-one communication because you're identifying in a very emotional way with a spirit of an entity that's dead.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, so that makes a very strong impact, a lot
True.
Greater impact than, say, a photograph of, you know,
George Washington,
an orb or a mist or something. I mean, not that they're not great, and I've got some great footage. You know, I've gotten, you know, footage of Tony Pickman getting his stomach burnt. You know,
whoa!
You know, how do you replace that?
Oh, that's the Sally House. Yeah,
actually, it's in the, if you go to there's the Sally House movie by Adson Media.
Yeah,
and they actually put some of my footage in there. Tony Pickman, who lives at the Sally House, was getting scratched to death.
Sally House.
There's been movies about him, and he was on TV shows.
Yeah, plenty of TV shows.
You probably know who he is.
Yeah, I think so.
It was Deborah, Tony Pickman, me, and part of the Kansas Paranormal Group. And first mom, Renee Leaker, I asked Joanna, which is one of the entities we think is there, if she thought they wanted to bring clergy in.
Right.
And Tony was using my parabolic microphone, and he flew back, and he screamed an expletive, and pulled up his shirt, and all the hair on his stomach was singed.
Holy shit.
Jeez. Yeah, in fact, the film actually shows it continuing the singe, so it's all peeling up on his stomach.
That's crazy. That's some crazy phenomena, pal. So let me ask you a question, Mike.
But even as phenomenal as that, EVPs, I think, stand out even more because they really relate to the human interaction.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about EVP. Now, we hear people that are obviously going to be, no matter what you do or say in this field, they're going to decry everything that we're doing and say, well, this is actually what you think you're hearing, or this is what you actually think you're seeing as paranormal phenomena. And they say that EVP is something like maybe CB, it's a shortwave radio.
Interference.
What do you say to these people? It's not just stray, like we said, noises or sounds being caught on voice recorders or whatnot, but EVP is actually something like ghost voices. What do you tell these critics?
Well, I actually like skeptics, and as a scientist, I think skeptics really keep us on our toes. There's on YouTube, if you look up Joe Banks, Audio Rorschach, Joe Banks is an experimental musician out of London who has a group that he uses called Disinformation that he's done some experimental music with using shortwave radio and some other extreme forms of electronics to make the music.
Okay.
He does a great four-part lecture on Audio Rorschach. You know, that is the theory that just ambient noises and stuff we're attaching meaning to, that, you know, these aren't actually voices, that we're making voices in our head and whatever.
Right.
It's an absolutely great lecture. You should watch it. But the problem with it is I've done a lot of experimenting with different ambient noises, you know, stomping my feet through leaves in cemeteries and things like that. And there's a real difference between ambient sounds and, again, like with what I worked with the speech pathologist, that sounds that only a human can make. Can't be made by an animal, can't be, you know, made by just ambient noises floating around, you know,
right.
You know, leaves smashing on the ground or whatever.
Hmm.
You know, glottal stops, they're real, tapping of the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
There are real things that I listen for when I'm going through EBP that are just completely human in nature.
Okay, gotcha. Sheffy?
I got a question. You know, we were talking about how it's almost a manipulation of the sound waves. You know, how these spirits are able to generate sounds that sound like a voice. Is like any kind of like white noise a good way to capture EVPs? Whether like we've known some people ran water, you know, the trickling of water, winds, fans, you name it, any
electrical
kind of
fans,
you know, running just static off a radio.
Hmm.
I actually just posted on. If you go to www.discogs.com and you type in my name,
right.
Michael Esposito, I just posted an old series of experimental noises that I ran a project with Haunted Voices where all the members came up with an experimental noise that we published, sound of a fluorescent tube, fluorescent light.
Yes.
Sound of a cat scratching, was one of them. Antique radio, the whole idea was to get out there and try any kind of different noise you can create.
Experiment,
that would work. One of the reasons I work with experimental music is because of the extreme frequencies that they do. In fact, a lot of times with my recordings, what I'll do is we'll go in and we'll take contact mics and stuff and actually record the structure of the place we're recording it.
Oh, neat.
So we'll record the walls, the windows, the floors,
yeah.
And we'll record for EVP, and then we take it all and mix it into a composition.
So, I mean, in theory, if you were in some kind of vacuum, you wouldn't be able to get an EVP then.
In theory.
If you're talking about, like, a vacuum-like space.
Yeah.
Of course, if you were in a vacuum, well, I'm reading a book right now called Microsound by Curtis Rhodes. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's all quantum sound theory on microacoustics and microsound. And basically, sound is any type of energy-based waveform that can float through a fluid, any kind of fluid medium.
Okay.
Huh.
All right, so as long as it's a fluid medium, underwater, certain porous material creates vibration because of the air pockets in the porousness, things like that. So if you're in a vacuum, you won't have any wavelength. You don't have
nothing to vibrate.
You have electromagnetic wavelength, which is
right.
Light wave. Now, light wave can travel without the use of a fluid. Fluid medium, because it works on a whole set of different principles than energy based.
It could carry sound, though. I've done an experiment way back in the day in high school where we actually bounced the laser and used it like the old tin can and string method.
So sound still bounces to and from?
Well, sound still traveled across that light wave.
Hmm.
Exactly. Right. Because light waves are made up of particles, any kind of fluid atmosphere would have. So anything that's particle-based would have the ability to carry sound waves.
Wow, you guys are blowing my mind. I mean, you're way too heady for me. So I know the professor. We have a professor on our side of things. Mike, Ryan Willard's going to chime in and we'll kick some science, baby. Science!
Michael,
back to you, brother Michael. Go ahead. Hand me your business.
I was just saying, to pull away from the hard times for a minute.
Thank God.
There's a big pull in the community, especially in the ghost hunting community, stuff on energy work as far as mediumistic abilities and Reiki and
energy works, yes.
Healing. And my partner Heidi Harmon handles that end of things for me. And what she'll do, she'll do things like raise the vibrational level or draw energy or send energy to me to record. In fact, there was a famous picture of me that's probably out there somewhere.
Google it.
On the internet, where I'm doing recordings at the Caskey House here in Indiana. And there's this rainbow light coming up from the ground,
mm-hmm.
straight into my recorder. And she had just given me Reiki, and this energy is going straight to this recorder of mine. That is Tom Naughton, who did the Haunting series.
Yeah.
On Discovery, his favorite photograph. He just adores that photo for some reason.
That sounds cool, Mike.
But there's this whole other type of energy out there as well. You know, not just the particles and the waveform and the microsound and the mesosound. But
right.
There's actually, I guess if you will, spiritual or, you know, which brings again this human element because we can't pull away from the human element of what we're doing. You know, it's neat to go out there and say, hey, we're going to, you know, handle this scientifically and stuff.
Sure.
But we're dealing in a very mix of human emotions, human feelings, spirituality.
It's a fringe science, yeah.
You know, like I do a lot of counseling, too, and I really think that the psychic ability, which everyone has, I believe.
I think so, too, yeah.
The psychic ability of the investigator really acts as an extension through bouncing rods or through the recorder as you're holding it.
Really? You really believe that?
Yeah, I believe the energy that, well, we emit energy. I mean, look at Curly in photography, you know, where they, you know, cut the leaf in half and it shows the outline of the other half of the leaf, or Phantom Pain, where you get your arm cut off and you still feel pain in your arm.
Corsica Brothers, yeah, gotcha.
You know, we have an energy, and if you pardon the expression, psychic energy.
That's fine.
Because it deals with our psyche, because it's an emotive or a very personal energy.
Yeah.
Where we still feel pain or we feel sadness, you know, for no reason. Past life regression.
Right.
Reiki practitioners, you know, things like that, all deal in this quantum science. Which is not a quantum physical science, but quantum spiritual science, if you will.
Okay. Well, on that note right there, Mike, hold on. Please hold your point, gentlemen. We're going to take a second break of the evening. We're coming right back, Mike. So is that cool? We're taking a break, partner?
Cool.
All right, man. So I'll be back in a minute there. This is John Crescito, Chef Chick, and, of course, Ryan, the Professor Willard. We're talking to Mike Esposito about all things EVP, baby. We're getting it done tonight on Beyond Ghosts. Be back in a minute and catch you on the flip side. Mamas and Papas.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal reveals the secrets of Chef Chick. Next episode.
It's okay, dude. Are you nervous?
No.
Boo. Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Still your host, John Crescito. Say that five times fast. I'm still in studio with Marty Chef Chick. Formerly Martini, and of course Ryan the Professor Willard, and Ryan's ready to rock and roll, make something happen, and kick some science. We're talking to EVP researcher and specialist Mike Esposito. Now, Mike, we were talking a little bit a while ago about all kinds of stuff as it pertains to EVP. Let me ask you a question now. As far as EVP goes, is it recorded at a different vibrational level than our regular sound waves?
Does that make sense?
I think so. A lot different. A lot of infrasonic recordings, a lot of ultrasonic recordings.
Right.
You can actually cut off first level, like section off like everything below 20 or everything below 17 or whatever, if you will,
yes,
actually boosts a lot of decibels in it. It doesn't change the waveform at all,
okay,
but it makes it audible. And if you've got a set of really, really good speakers or really, really good headphones, you can actually listen to those levels for EVP. I believe that they actually occur on multiple levels at different times,
okay,
regarding possibly maybe different energies. Or, you know, I really don't know. I mean, things we don't quite understand yet. But
fun to explore.
I do capture EVPs at different hertz levels and at different wavelengths. So
it kind of depends, I guess. It can be at different levels. Is my point, I guess. So
yeah, it can be.
I don't know yet.
Anybody really understands why or how or when it occurs at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But we have definitely heard them at many, many different levels.
But we do know they're spirit voices, right?
Yeah, right. They're spirit voices.
All right, Willie, go ahead, pal. You're looking to chime in.
Michael, just curious on when you're investigating the techniques use and basically what would be your favorite that you like to use. I mean, do you usually do standard EVP sessions, or do you usually walk around with a recorder? Do you leave a recorder somewhere, or do you do real-time EVPs? What do you usually do on investigation that you fit more comfortable with?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. And actually, I've done a lot. I like to experiment. I like to do different things.
Gotcha.
The first session at the Sally House, it was interesting because we were doing standard 15-minute question-answer EVPs where we all sit around.
Right.
But I had the idea to sneak in a recorder and just turn it on and not let anyone know that it was going, you know, spirits or anyone alike. And during the 15-minute EVPs, we got absolutely nothing during the session. But in between the sessions, we were getting just a ton of stuff. You know,
right.
Sometimes I like to set them down. I like to hold them because I really believe that the energy of the researcher really plays a role in it.
Sure.
But the thing is, you know, I've done a lot of tuning for experiments. There's a movie called Ghost Asylum.
Ghost Asylum.
There's a good example of me taking tuning forks and injecting the floors and other porous objects with frequency to try and energize the EVPs, or I guess, like, if you can imagine a battery that's run out of energy and then recharging it, you know, trying to draw out EVP. My thing is I think EVP researchers ought to go out there and experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do one type or another type or this or that. I mean, I've done EVP, listened to it, played it back, built off of what I heard there real time. I've got recorders that you can plug headphones into and hear it as it's happening. I've got we've taken recorders and we've played EVP and re-recorded them on other recorders, which helps clean them up and bring them out. Try everything. I try different things all the time.
I agree.
You know, because we just don't know in this field. And that's one of the exciting things about the field is there's just so much room to really let your imagination and creativity take over.
So much possible advancements
we made. Really, there's no right or wrong way. Any way you want to do it is pretty much...
Loving
could
it.
Possibly get results, correct?
Hell yeah.
Right, but never, ever, ever do it dressed as Little Bo Peep. I really highly recommend.
Damn, that was next week coming up, Al. Thanks, Mike, you're cut.
We have an image to keep, you know.
But it usually is dark, so no one's going to see
you,
it.
Not me, pal.
Yeah, but there's IRs, Marty.
Shoot. Nice. How about olive oil? I could do them as olive oil.
Olive oil's okay. As long as you got someone dressed as Pluto, yeah.
See, that kind of was going to play into what I was going to ask you. We were talking about just going out there and just try. Just do whatever experiments you can. In the paranormal, obviously, it's a wide open field. I was going to ask you, Mike, in your opinion, where do you think the advancements in EVP are going to come from and where they're going? Pretty heady, huh?
I used to answer that question by saying that advancements in technology really play a big part in it.
Right.
I've literally got, you know, probably 200 digital recorders, little handhelds. I use reel-to-reel, open-reel,
right,
micro cassette, regular cassette, mini cassette. I've recorded on telephone recording machines, the answering machines, MP3 players, anything that I could record on, I've recorded on.
Okay.
You know? But I think even more so now, so instead of going with the technical advancing, you know, the technical advancements in hardware, I think the real advancement in EVP is going to come in quantum theory and understanding sound,
okay,
vibrations, and energy.
Okay, it's a good answer. What do you think, Marty? Marty's kind of a quantum physics guy, so we kind of go to him for all that technical science stuff. Yeah. You can tell Marty's the real, you know, head on the shoulders kind of guy here. That's what, he's not like Ungawa, Ungawa. Me like fire, me like fire.
Curtis Rhodes, absolutely a fantastic book on sound. It really opens up your eyes to sounds that are beyond, you know, the frequency ranges beyond the upper and lower scales of the actual very small range of human hearing is just so phenomenal. And there are researchers out there in physics and that work in those realms on a daily basis.
Good on you, mate.
I think that's where part of our mystery lies, is within those realms.
Okay. Well, you know what, Mike Esposito? We're actually coming to the end of the hour here, but before I let you go, you ain't off the hook yet, partner. I'm going to allow you to kind of give out some shout-outs, but even before I do that, I want to ask you real quickly, I want just one-word answer. Well, it depends on how many words are in the title. Where is the most impressive place you have ever investigated, Mike Esposito?
Sally House.
Hands down, the friggin' Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. Now, that's not open to the public, though, Drew.
No, Les actually doesn't let a whole lot of people in there. Just people that give him golf clubs like me. he likes golf.
Does he drink?
You're a bragger.
Yeah, it's not open to the public. And it's all of Atchison, though. I mean, there's a lot of great places in Atchison. Mm-hmm. And that whole town is just so wrong.
hope they're not listening.
It's a great town.
Fast moving town.
Amelia Earhart was born a street over from the Sally House.
Enough said.
Young girl.
We always
say that she didn't disappear, that Atchison just came and got her.
And they keep her. All right, you know what, Mike?
Buffalo.
Mike, next time you go, maybe you can give us an invite. We'll come in with you, huh?
That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
And I like golf clubs, too.
I've been to Bellwitch. I've been to Myrtles. I've been everywhere. And there's something about the once it gets a hold of you, it doesn't like to let go.
Yikes, famous last word. So we're going to talk to you more about that eventually. We'd like to get with you and actually investigate sometime in real time somewhere out in the country. But before we let you go, we want you to now give you shout-outs, and that's a way for you to let the listeners at home know where they can find more information about Mike Esposito. So we're talking, obviously, your URL, like your website info. Where can we find out more about you, and how do we keep tabs on Mike Esposito? Go.
I Google me. Google Michael Esposito EVP.
Okay.
I recommend the Discogs site because the Discogs has a lot of my work on it in real time. Touch Records, I'm signed with Touch Records out of London, their website.
Okay.
Under Touch Music. And SallyHouse.com, TheSallyHouse.com. Those are a couple of good ones.
Got it.
All over. Dead Whisper, Ghost Asylum, The Sally House Movie.
Nice. You're famous.
I would Google me. I don't actually have any sites yet of my own.
Okay.
But there's a lot out there.
We'll help you out. So they'll Google you or they'll get a hold of us and we'll tell them how to get a hold of you. So, Mike, if that's all you got, we've got to let you go, partner.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, don't hang up, though. We're taking our last break of the evening. Mike, do not hang up. We want to say goodbye to you properly. Hold on 1 second, please. So, folks at home, that was Michael Esposito talking about all things EVP. We're taking our final break of the evening. This is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Chrisito, Chef Chick, Willard, be back in a minute. So, if you move, you suck. Be back in a minute, babies. Hey there, babies. It's John Crescito, the host of Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal, and I want to make a really big announcement that's going to be taking place this summer. Summertime's coming. Quick, fast, and hurry. It's going to be here in no time. Do you want to go on a road trip? Do you want to come hang out and investigate with the gang from Beyond Ghosts? Easier said than done, negatory. Let me tell you something. August 28th, 2010, if you want to come investigate one of the top 10 haunted places in North America, especially the good old US of A, meet us at Eastern State Penitentiary. That's right, Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal is due in Eastern State with you, babies, August 28th, 2010. More info, go to beyondghost.com, hit up the events page. Let me tell you something, you're getting unprecedented access as well as a longer period of time than you normally would. So normally you're out by 1 a.m. This time, babies, you're out by 2. Check us out. August 28th, 2010, Eastern State Penitentiary. You, Beyond Ghosts, and everybody else out there listening. Check our website for more info, beyondghosts.com, the events page, babies. Ooh-ah!
you didn't kill him, then who did, sir?
Who can say? Best thing for him, really. His therapy was going nowhere.
Fancy meeting you here again. Yes, it is still your host, John Cressido, and yes, this is still Beyond Ghosts, and now it is time to introduce, it is my absolute pleasure to do so, the ever-popular musical segment that you and I and everybody else knows is unique to this radio show, Beyond Ghosts. Innovators, never duplicators, and tonight we're going to feature another first-run band, an unsigned musical act out of California, and the band is Modern Rock, and I'll tell you what, who doesn't love music, right? If you don't like music and you have a closed mind and you can't accept new things, you better be careful. The FBI might be creeping around your backyard, so look out the back window and hide. We're talking tonight about a band known as Cage Nine, and they did a great song a few years back that we're going to feature tonight, first run on Beyond Ghosts. It's titled A Last Lullaby. So it's a great modern rock classic and a great band out of California, Cage Nine. More information, you want to go check out their website, cage9.com. CAGE9.com. That's like the number nine. So cage9.com. Folks, here's the tune by Cage Nine, A Last Lullaby. And as always, week in, week out, our musical sponsor is the awesomest ever Music Alley from Mevio. Please check out the PodSafe Music Network at MEVIO.com. MEVIO.com. So without further ado, we're going to keep on keeping on here on Beyond Ghosts. And here we go. A Last Lullaby by Cage Nine.
She's on a deep peace. She's the name. She's gonna wait, she's gonna wait, she's gonna wait till the time is right. Why? 'Cause it's all in vain as she drifts away. Is there a way, a way, a way we're trying? No way, no way, no way denied. It's all
Okay, all you good-looking listeners out there, that's going to be a wrap for March 30th, 2010. Of course, we were talking to EVP expert. He's a researcher and specialist in electronic voice phenomena, Mr. Michael Esposito. Great guest, great guy. We'll be talking to him again in the future. Now, coming up next week on Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal, keeping it real, like I said, we're ghost hunters through and through, and we're going to be talking to fellow ghost hunter. That's right, we're doing it Golden State style. We're talking to our buddy Charlotte Cosa, from a group known as California Haunts, and she is also a radio personality herself. She has her own radio show, which is a great one, by the way. So we'll be talking to her about California ghost hunting style. So that's next week on Beyond Ghosts. Charlotte Costa is going to be on, and you're not going to want to miss it, folks. Ghost Hunters on Ghost Hunter. Ba-boom, boom. So in the meantime, you want more information, see what's happening, you want to get down with the get down as far as all these great events Beyond Ghosts is putting out there, our concern, go to our website, beyondghosts.com, check out the events page. You can also check out our news page, see the stuff that's going on outside of the events, stuff coming up, next radio shows. You never know, sky is the limit. You want to email me or the rest of the guys from the Beyond Ghost gang, do so at beyondghosts@yahoo.com. Until next, we meet on the radio, lovelies. That's right. I'm going to tell you what. Can't wait to see you again. Join us on the road sometime at one of our events so we can hang out and ghost hunt and do our thing together. Until next week, ciao, bella!
And if you don't feel anything, that's fine too.
That's cool in the game with us.